is God's word. I think I hear this side more than this side. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Evan's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you that faith will come as we hear it. I thank you for the manifestation of healing and deliverance and signs, wonders, and miracles taking place because you always watch over your word to perform it. So I am confident this day that you're going to do exactly what you say. And I step back so the Spirit of God can minister to your people in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. If you're visiting us, you may wonder, well, what do I do with my offering that I have? Well, on the way out, there are some black receptacles on the wall, and you can give on your way out. Can you say amen, church? Amen. Well, we're currently in a series entitled Healing, Signs, Miracles, and Wonders. Everybody say healings, healing. signs, miracles, and wonders. And if you're being challenged in your health, I want to strongly encourage you to go back and listen to all three of the messages that I've done in this series. As a matter of fact, I want you to take seriously your physical health because God puts things on my heart to preach and he does that for a reason. So here's the question that I have for you before we jump into the message today. What did you do with last week's message? Now just look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me. Now look at your other one and say, but he talking to you though. He talking to you. Listen, healing comes by hearing and by hearing by the healing of God's word. And so today if you're taking notes, in fact, if you need some notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. If you're watching via internet, there should be a way for you to access and download the notes for today's message. So if you're taking notes or following me, the message title is Expecting and Experiencing Healing. Expecting and Experiencing Healing. And here's the more interesting thing about the message today. Let's say, for instance, you are already healthy and you're already whole. Well, the principle that I'm going to teach today will work for you in any other area of your life. And so the goal today of the message is to raise your faith so you and I can expect and experience God's promises of healing in your life. And I actually have a second goal today. My second goal is to help you get a revelation that healing has taken place once you believe for it. Even though you may not have seen it, you may not feel it, or you may not have felt it in your body, it doesn't mean that healing has not been released. So we're going to use Isaiah 53 verses 4 as the backdrop for today's message. Now last week we talked about this verse, but I'm going to point out something different in today's message. It says about Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs, and Jesus has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgression. And Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. And I want you to read this part with me. And with his stripes we are healed. And so what I want to do briefly is to look at the word stripes this morning so that we can get an idea of what stripes meant. Watch this now. And also get a better understanding of what Jesus had to go through for us to be healed. Now this word stripes shows up in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. But it shows up as a different word. And so I want to point it out. This is in Genesis chapter 4 verses 23. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, and Lamech said unto his wives. wives. You can only have one these days, but Lamech had some wives. One of them was named Ada. I know she was black because my aunt was named Ada. You ain't met nobody else named Ada. You ever met a Mexican named Ada? I don't think so. It says, Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken to my speech. Watch what he says here. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. See the word hurt? That's the word stripes. So here's my question. What's another word we could use for the word hurt? Pain. Because if something hurts you, it's going to be painful. Do you agree with me? So anything, watch this church, that causes us pain, Jesus did something about that. You know what he did? He took some stripes. And although the Bible doesn't really tell us how many stripes Jesus actually took for us, what we do know is that there was a law in place that if a person was actually sentenced to being beaten with stripes, they could not have been beaten with no more than 40 stripes. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 25 verse 1 shows us that. I'm reading out of the NIV version. It says, when people have a dispute, they are to take that dispute to court and the judges will decide on the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. If the guilty person deserves to be beaten, the judge will then make them lie down and then have them flogged in his presence with the number of lashes for the crime, what the crime deserves. And then verse 3 says this, but the judge must not impose any more than how many lashes? 40 lashes. So listen, we have a New Testament verse that also mirrors what we just read, because what I want you to see is I want you to get an idea of how many stripes Jesus took on his back so that you and I could be healed. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 24. I'm reading out of now the ESV version or the easy to read version. Verse 24 says, Paul was talking, he says, 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes, watch this church, less one. Let me ask you a question. What's 40 minus one? 39. In other words, he received 39 lashes or stripes. And one of the reasons those who were issuing the stripes or the lashes, they would normally stop at 39 to make sure they didn't go over 40. So you and I can agree that Jesus received at least 39 lashes. You are with me. Now let me ask you a question. Would you want to serve time for somebody? Let's say, for instance, your sister-in-law. That you say, well, no, not the sister-in-law. Use my mama. Okay, let's say your mama ended up in jail. He talking about my mama? I'm not talking about your mama. I'm just talking about your neighbor's mama, okay? So let's say your mama went to jail and the judge said to you, I tell you what, your mama is sentenced to be in jail for 30 days. But if you will elect to take her place, I will let her out. How many would be upset if you took your mother's place and you served 30 days in jail, but your mother decided to serve her own sentence and you both were serving 30 days in jail? Wouldn't that be upsetting? Well, how upsetting do you think Jesus is that he took 39 stripes on his back and you and I still walk around sick? That is not the will of God. So now let's look now at 1 Peter chapter 2, and then we're going to dive into the point today, which I only have one. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, verse 21. This is what you were chosen to do. Christ gave you and I an example to follow. He actually suffered for you and I. So you should do the same as he did. He never sinned. He never told a lie. People insulted him, but he did not insult them back. Watch what Jesus did. He suffered, but he did not threaten anyone. He did not show road rage. Watch this. No, He let God take care of him. And some of you in this room and some of you who are watching need to do just that. You need to let God take care of that situation. Because the moment you come down to the flesh with whoever you're dealing with, you have lost the battle because the devil thrives in the flesh. Well, let's see what it says. It said he let God take care of him. God is the one who judges righteously. Verse 24. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross. He did that so that we would stop living for sin and live for what is right. Here's why I read all that. By his wounds, the King James says, by his stripes, read it with me, we were healed. Say amen to that. So, do you think he died in vain? No, he didn't. He wants us to experience the manifestation of healing in our lives. Say, I agree with that. So I have one point today, and I think I'll be able to cover the whole point. Now listen, I believe if you get this in your spirit, not in your head, if you get this in your spirit, your life will change on many levels. See, sometimes you can hear a word and it's targeted for one thing. And even though I'm focusing on healing today, the principle that I'm going to teach today actually goes across the board, and I believe your life can change for the better if you grab this. So here's point number one if you want to take notes. You and I, we believe we receive healing before we see it or feel it. I'm going to say that again. You believe you receive healing before you see it or feel it. Now you may say, well, Pastor, how can I have it if I don't see it or feel it? So we're going to look in Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to say some things today that you may have heard, but I'm going to say some things in a way today that you've never heard from me because I've never said it. Watch Mark chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 12. It says, and on tomorrow, when they, Jesus and his disciples, were come from Bethany, Jesus got hungry. And seeing a fig tree that was afar off, having some leaves, Jesus came to the fig tree to see if there was anything thereon. But when he came to the tree, he found nothing but leaves because the time of figs was not come. Verse 14. And so Jesus answered and he said to the tree, no man eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And he said this loud enough for his disciples to hear it. Verse 15. And they were come to Jerusalem. So I want you to see that they were entering. He said that to the tree. The disciples heard him. So now they're moving into the city of Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple. And he began to cast people out that sold and bought in the temple. And then he overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So Jesus and his disciples enters into the city of Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. He sees what's going on. He don't like it. He throws stuff around. So now I'm going to jump down to Mark chapter 11, verse 19. It says, now when evening was come, which means that 24 hours now is getting ready to close, he went out of the city. What city did he go out of? Jerusalem. Look in verse 20. And in the morning, everybody say, that's 24 hours later. And in the morning, as they passed by, they, the disciples and Jesus, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Watch verse 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, and I'm going to add this, on yesterday is withered away. Now, I have a question before we keep reading. What did you say on yesterday that could cause your healing to be manifested today? Oh, I'm going to say, y'all didn't get that, did you? I just slapped you like Martin. Pat, 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 pat. I'm going to say it one more time. See, Jesus spoke to the tree the day before, but he saw the manifestation of what he spoke the next day. Well, I'm going to ask you again, what did you say on Saturday that could cause your healing to be manifested today? And if I were to answer the question for most people, the answer would be nothing. So let's jump to verse 22 because I want you to feel better about yourself. Here we go. And Jesus answering said to them, watch this now, they saw the fig tree, they heard him curse it, they saw it the next day and saw it was gone. And so now Jesus, when they brought it to his attention, he says, you know what? Have faith in God. Now, when you look that up, there are different versions. One of the versions says, have God's kind of faith. Now, let me ask you a question before we move on. Who would love to have God's kind of faith? I mean, Jesus just demonstrated God's kind of faith. God's kind of faith can speak to things and cause those things to happen. So I'm going to ask you one more question. Who in here would love to have God's kind of faith? Well, guess what? You already do. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 4, or in Romans 12, that we all have been given the measure of faith. In other words, God deposited in all of us, those who are believers, the same faith that he has. Well, here's my question. What does God's kind of faith look like? And what does God's kind of faith operate like? Because if I got it, I need to know how to work it. I need to learn how to flow with it. I need to learn how he used it so I can use it. Say amen to that. So Romans chapter 4 verse 17 tells us how God's faith looks and tells us how God's faith operates. Romans 4:17 in the ERV version says this. As the scripture says, this was God talking. He says, I have made you, Abraham, the father of many nations. And this is true before God, the one Abraham believed. Watch this now. It says, the God who gives life to who? So this God we're talking about, our father, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who raised him from the dead. It says that he gives life to the dead, but then it says something else. And, everybody say and. And that same God, watch this church, he speaks of things that don't exist yet as if they were real. I'm going to say that again. The God that we're talking about, the way his faith works and the way it operates, he speaks of things that don't yet exist as if they were real. I'm going to read Romans 4:17 out of the King James Version. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and God who called those things which be not as though they were. In other words, church, God's kind of faith talks like something has already been done, even though it doesn't look like it was done. I'm going to say that again. God's kind of faith, it talks like something has already been done, even though it doesn't look like it was done. That's what happened to the tree. He said something about the tree, and even though it didn't look like nothing happened to the tree, faith was working on the tree. So by the time they saw the tree the next day, what he said about the tree had to come to pass, because God is going to always have what he said. And that's what Jesus did. He looked at a perfectly living tree and he said something to it. Listen what Jesus didn't do. He did not say what he saw about the tree. Oh, this tree ain't got nothing on it. I wonder what a fig's that. What y'all think about that? No, he did not say what he saw about the tree. He said what he wanted to see from the tree. And this is why most of us have not seen, listen now, the manifestation of healing, because we are saying nothing, or we are saying what we can see or feel. In other words, we are speaking nothing because we see nothing. But Jesus said to the tree what he wanted and not what he was seeing. And here's the biggest problem when it comes to receiving most things. Watch this, church. We fail to operate in faith like God does. Why? Because God believes it, then he says it, and then he expects to see it. Say this with me. Say, God believes it, God says it, and God expects it. Come on, you got to say it with conviction. Say, God believes it, God says it, then God expects it. And listen, this is proven throughout the Bible. Listen, this principle that I'm talking about right here started way in the book of Genesis, and you all know this verse. When he talks about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says the earth was without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Bible says the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters. And here's the problem with most churches, and we're not going to do this on Tuesday night. We're going to show how to get the Spirit of God to do some things. The Bible says the Spirit of God was moving. Well, what was he doing? He had nothing to do until the Father spoke. Listen to what it says in verse 3. The Spirit was moving in verse 2, and then verse 3, the first three words are what? Come on. And God said. So the Spirit of God was moving. God said something. Now the Spirit of God has something to do. And God said, let there be what? And then what happened? God believes it. He says it. And he expects to see it. Well, verse 3 said, and God said, let there be light. And then what happened? And there was light. And then what does verse 4 say? And God saw the light. Church, the key to manifestation of healing is you got to believe it. You got to say it, and you got to expect to see it. Say amen to that. Amen. So let's go back to Mark 11:23, because now is where I'm going to say some things that you may not have heard before. Verse 23 says this. This was Jesus talking. He says, verily I say unto you, word of truth, and those of you who are watching, that whosoever looks like you qualified for that. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a whosoever. Now look at your other neighbor and say, you are too. Okay, so we already qualify for what he's about to say. He says, for whosoever, watch this church, shall say. Let me say this. He didn't say shall think. He says shall say. Because thinking will not bring into manifestation God's promises for your life. Because if it did, the Bible would have said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he thought, let there be light. No, he had to say it. So he said, whoever says to this mountain, to this sickness, to this disease, to their body, be removed and be cast into the sea, and if they don't doubt in their heart, but if they shall believe, believe what? It didn't say believe for healing. It didn't say believe for a car, believe for a house. What did he say we need to believe? He said, but you shall believe the things that you say. And that's the problem. We don't believe what we're saying. Because I'm going to show you in a minute, we ain't saying nothing. He said, but you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in this heart. And I'm going to show you what doubt is in just a minute. And I promise you, you've never seen doubt like the way I'm going to show it to you. He said, but what you need to do is believe. Believe what? That those things which I have been saying shall come to pass. We are going to have what we say. It didn't say we will have what we want. Because a lot of times you can want one thing, but your mouth says another thing. And that's where a double mind comes into play. If you want something and your mouth is saying something different, just know at that point you have become a double-minded individual. And the scripture tells us a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. And it goes on to say, let not that person think they shall receive nothing from the Lord. And some of us are wondering why we haven't received certain things. It's because we're double-minded. We want over here in our heart, but we say over here with our mouth. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them right then and there. You don't believe after you get up. He says you need to believe you receive it right there. I'll show you at the end on how to do that. So I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying that we have what we say. He didn't say we will have necessarily what we want. Those two have to match, what we want and what we say. Now you may say, well, Pastor Evan, I want healing. And I would say to you, if you want it bad enough, why aren't you saying that? In fact, I could almost bet, if I was a betting man, I got some money right here. How many? I got some money right here. If I was a betting man, right, I would bet that Most of you who need some type of healing have not said out of your own mouth out loud, at least for the last 30 days straight, I guarantee you haven't declared your healing. Now you, some of you are like, Pastor, it don't take all of that. I shouldn't have to confess for my healing for no 30 days straight. Well, I would disagree. Amen. I would respond to you by saying, how many of you work a job that you have to work 30 days before you get a check? Raise your hand. If you're a school teacher, government, all that. Right. You got to wait 30 days before you got to work 30 days straight. Well, if you had to work 30 days straight to get paid, why aren't you willing to declare out of your mouth that you are healed for 30 days straight to get healed? Amen. You even would say, you know, what's interesting, we work faith in the other areas. We're just not working biblical faith. So let's take the person that was, you know, they get paid every 30 days. You have an expectation that you're going to get a check. You know why? In fact, you believe you're going to get a check because you done already lined up the bills you're going to pay when you get it. You already telling your kids, kids come to you and say, Mama, I need some more pants for school. Okay, well, I get paid this Friday. I'll take you to Target or wherever you're going to take them, right? Well, listen, you believe that you were going to get paid. And listen, you haven't even finished working your 30 days. See, now I'm about to get with the people that I know are somewhat religious. These are people that say, well, Pastor, I should have my healing because I have a confession on my door at the house. And this confession says that I'm healed and I'm delivered. And so I would say to you, Jesus didn't say you will have what you read. He said you would have what you say. See, you may be reading, but listen, reading takes place in your head. Confession takes place in the heart. And it's the heart for which we believe. In fact, Romans chapter 10, it says, for with the heart man believes. And then after you believe, the Bible says, then the mouth makes a confession. So you just reading a confession on a wall or on a door doesn't mean you believe. You just show you have good reading skills. Because if you really believe something, you don't have to read it. You will say it. So let's talk about doubt real quick, because I don't think we understand doubt. Because see, right now, from what I understand from scripture, doubt is the only thing standing between my healing and my deliverance. Just doubt. But see, most people think that doubt is just changing your mind. Oh, okay, yeah, I believe it one day, and then next day. No, that's part of what doubt is. But I'm about to show you now a biblical view of doubt that you may not have seen before. So, because I do know that doubt is a blocker of manifestation. So let's go back to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. It says, and Jesus said in verse 23, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, everybody say shall say, shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not, read it with me, doubt in your, say it again, shall not what?
Doubt in your.
Come on, one more time. He says, listen, you need to say something, but when you say it, I don't need you to doubt in your heart. But in contrast, he says, I want you to believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, and you're going to have what you say. So listen, church, if we are to believe what we say, and that what we say shall come to pass, then doubt is not saying nothing. I'm going to let it simmer. Let me see, how many have been sitting in a classroom and the teacher asked a question and you think you knew the answer to it, but you wasn't sure. So instead of being embarrassed, you, watch this, you never raised your hand to participate. See, doubt is not just saying, oh, I believe, I don't believe. No, doubt is not saying nothing, because if believing is, well, okay, watch this now, watch this now, watch this now, watch this now. See, some of you all don't believe this. You think that doubt is swaying between two opinions. That's part of doubt. But when we believe something and we say something, then that means when we doubt something, we don't say nothing. Okay, all right, listen, we're going to do two things. Let's read Mark chapter 11, verse 23. I want to read it in the negative. In other words, I'm going to read it as if it was backwards. It says, it would read like this. For verily I say unto you, Jesus said, that whosoever shall not say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall doubt in his heart, but shall not believe that those things which he say, which he does not say, it shall not come to pass. He shall not have whatever he say. You know why he won't have what he say? Because he ain't saying nothing. You say, well, I don't get that. Okay, watch this now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I got to get you to get this. Because see, some of y'all have, you've settled with, well, I'm not saying nothing bad. You are. Silence can, listen, means agreement. That's what Adam did. Adam was in agreement with what Eve did, and he showed his agreement by silence. Y'all get that? So watch 2 Corinthians, because I'm going to show you that the proof that you believe something is when you say something. The proof that you don't believe something is when you don't say nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith. In other words, he's talking about the faith that Jesus spoke about. He says, we have the same spirit of faith because it's written. Watch what he says. He says, I believed, that's past tense. And because I have believed, he says, therefore have I spoken. He says the proof that I believed something in the past is because I said something in my past. But then he goes on to say, but we also believe, that's present tense. And he said the proof that we believe right now is because we speak. Listen to the ERV version. It says, I believed, so I spoke. Our faith is like that too. We believe, and so we speak. I'm going to say that backwards. Our faith. I don't believe, so I didn't speak. I don't currently believe now, and I say nothing. So here's a take-home statement. Here's a take-home statement. I know, and this is going to bother some of my English teachers. Some of my, you know, education people. Yeah, this take-home statement is going to bother you, but here it is. They're going to put it up there. If you ain't saying nothing, you ain't believing for nothing. Boy, that's strong right there. I'm going to say that again. If you ain't saying nothing, you ain't believing for... Say this with me. Say, if I ain't saying nothing, I ain't believing for nothing. Come on, say it one more time. If I ain't saying nothing, I ain't believing for nothing. Now look at your neighbor and say, if you ain't saying nothing, you ain't believing for nothing. And there goes the problem. Biblically, listen... You cannot say you're believing if your mouth is shut. It's getting hot in here. So keep on all your clothes. So here's my last question as we close. How do we get the invisible healing to become visible? How do we get our invisible healing to become visible? Here's the answer. Watch this, church. We must take spiritual words from the eternal side and transfer them over to the visible side by speaking them. I'm going to say that one more time. We must take spiritual words. Say spiritual words. We must take spiritual words from the eternal side. That's the side that God's on. And the only way to transfer now these spiritual words from, watch this, from the eternal into the physical, we transfer them by speaking them. Jesus said, watch this, John 6:63. See, most people don't realize the power of words. They don't realize that words are spirit. The Bible even says God is spirit. Watch now, John 6:63. It says, Jesus said, it's the spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh, it profits nothing. He said, the words that I'm speaking to you, read it with me, church, they are spirit and they are life. He could have said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are death. And that's why Romans, Proverbs 18:21 says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So why is all this speaking necessary? Because that's some of y'all going, Pastor's got to be more than that. It's because God created this world to be voice activated. Nothing can be done without somebody saying something. Your kids ain't going to make up their bed unless you say something. And then when you say it and you say it, and they don't do it, then you got to do something else. It's called next level learning. To the seat of your understanding. Let me say this. Let me say this. Based on biology and science, the average man, or male, I should say, releases anywhere between 30 million and a billion sperms in one intercourse. Just one. 30 million or a billion. But here's what's interesting. There are times where that many still don't reach that one egg. Most people don't get pregnant on the first try. It takes them a while, right? Well, listen. That's why it's so important to not just hear the word. It says faith comes by hearing. See, if you hear it enough, you don't know when the sperm of God's word is going to reach the promise of your heart. And now your heart is going to speak out of your mouth and your mouth is going to have what you say. Y'all didn't hear me. See, once you get pregnant with the promise, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says your mouth is going to say something. So why has the devil wired your mouth shut? You got to get to the point where you say, devil, it don't matter what I see. It don't matter what I feel. It don't matter what the doctor says. It don't matter what the medical report says. It don't matter what my family died of. It don't matter what my heritage says. I'm saying God's word says, by his stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. So I'm closing. Y'all can be seated. I'm closing. So listen. Believing is like ordering something off of Amazon. You find what you want. You purchase it by faith. You believe it's going to show up at your front door. And if for some reason your package don't show up, if it has not arrived when they said it did, what you going to do? You going to get on your phone and you going to track the package. Well, what do you do when you haven't seen your healing? What you got to do, you got to pull out your roadmap called the Bible. You have to track the promise of God's word. And then you have to thank him for the arrival. Because praise will bring into manifestation everything you want. Because the Bible says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth will release its increase. I dare you to praise him. See, if I didn't ask you for something and you got good credit, I ain't gonna worry about asking you no more. I'm gonna thank you ahead of time for doing it. And when you know God has done something, all you have to do is thank him and praise him. Because when praises go up, blessings come down. Give the Lord a hand clap if you got something. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for showing up in the midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated real quick. So listen, I know I got one more minute, but I just want to go over this application because it's important. Listen, how do you apply what I talked about today? The first thing is you need to examine your life to see if you are believing or doubting. In other words, are you saying something or are you silent? Here's number two. What are you saying regarding your healing? Here's number three. Watch this now. This is crazy right here. Let pain or your symptoms be a reminder to praise and thank him for your healing. Don't let it be a reminder for you to complain. Let it be a reminder that you're healed. As a matter of fact, set your little clock on your phone. Set your alarm to go off every hour or every 30 minutes. And every time the alarm goes off, just begin to give him some praise. Lord, I thank you for my healing. I thank you I'm going to be able to run around Word of Truth Family Church. I thank you I'm going to be able to witness to all my co-workers who saw me suffer through this. Lord, I thank you for healing me in Jesus' name. And there are some people with every head bowed and every eye closed. There are some people today.